Hare Krishna. I'd like to begin by first begging the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas, although I'm very disqualified to be sitting here. Somehow or other, by the mercy of the devotees and Guru, I'm here, so I'd like to first please beg for your blessings so that I'm able to speak something bona fide and relevant. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, reading text 33. Please repeat.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we'll just read the translate, the word for word.
Evam
Padaki Jai.
In this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Purport. Everyone is afraid of death, and however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant.
So I'd like to begin by first thanking the devotees for such a wonderful festival yesterday. It was a very enlivening experience. The altar was so beautiful, and I could see so many devotees that come from so far away to get this awesome darshan. So I'd like to express my appreciation and gratitude to the devotees who all work so hard to for the lordships to give everyone such a nice darshan, and also my appreciation to how quickly it was all transformed into today's darshan. So this is the amazing mercy of the devotees of Radha Gopinath. So greatly inspired by your service. Thank you very much. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains Prakriti Kriyamana and Eguna Karmani Bhagashaha Hankara Vamudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. And actually, he's explaining that the spirit soul who's existing in this material world, he thinks that he's the doer, the enjoyer, and the controller, but actually he's completely bewildered by his false ego, and these actions and activities are actually being performed by the three modes of material nature, which are, you could say, directly or indirectly under the control of Krishna. So this is the nature of the living entity in the material world, is that he becomes full of himself, not his real self, but his false self. And this false ego is established as an identity due to avidya, due to ignorance. And this ignorance is because the living entity finds shelter in Durashaya, in the actual bad shelter of the illusory energy, in Maya, instead of remembering his or her eternal relationship and position as a servant of Krishna. So this false ego, Guru Maharaj was explaining very nicely last night in his talk, that even the gopis exhibited some transcendental pride. And because of this, Krishna,
to teach us all a lesson, he left them. So in the same way, we come into the material world, we get this body, so many things we get at birth, and somehow or other, regardless of the good or bad situation, we become proud of whatever it is that we have. There's a saying, pauper is proud of his penny, and certainly anyone in this material world is worse off than any pauper. Srila Prabhupada explains that actually everyone in the material world is a criminal, and when they come into this world, they should have criminal stamped on their forehead. We should understand that actually we didn't come here because of some great deeds that we performed necessarily in the spiritual world. At least I can speak for myself. I'm sure there are some of you who maybe have come here for higher purposes, but at least for myself, I was kicked out of the spiritual world because of envy and pride, lust, all of these horrible anarthas that are dwelling within the heart. And then upon entering the material world, we begin to perform activities in this lustful, prideful, envious consciousness. And these activities bind us and compel us to continue to act again and again in a way in which we actually don't want to act if we search deeply, but we're compelled to act. As Arjuna inquires from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what compels a man to act against his will, even though he doesn't want to, even though he knows better? I'm sure we've all experienced acting in a way that we know is completely not conducive to even mundane morality, let alone higher principles of Krishna consciousness. And these anarthas within our heart, lust, greed, and especially this pride, it binds us more and more by our activities. And the more that we act, the more we become proud. The more that we acquire, the more we become proud of it. The more that we achieve, the more that we become proud. The more we think ourselves the doer, the more we think, I am the person who's making this happen. And the more that we completely forget that actually everything is going on by Krishna's mercy. Were it not for Krishna, we wouldn't even have this body. We wouldn't even be able to breathe. We wouldn't be able to experience anything. But beyond that, we can constantly thinking ourselves the doer in this material world, and this forgetfulness is actually the disease. Forgetting Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, that actually we have to remember Krishna, that the supreme goal in life is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So this false ego, as Prabhupada is mentioning, he mentions in the purport, but also mainly in the verse, actually this false identification is not something to be proud of. This false identification is something that we should be ashamed of and we should seek to overcome. Unfortunately, even once we come to the path of devotional service, still we find it difficult to overcome this. Still we find it difficult to actually get rid of these anarthas, these desires or these inclinations to act in a certain way, whether it's unfavorable towards the devotees, unfavorable towards Guru, unfavorable towards Krishna, unfavorable towards our higher self. Somehow we're compelled still to act. And Prabhupada gives an analogy of a person who contracts some venereal disease. And he explains that actually a person who contracts this disease, he may go and see the doctor to seek some cure for the disease. And the doctor may actually give some cure for this disease. But then because the inclination of sex desire is still there, he continues to perform the activities that originally caused this actual disease. So in this way, he continues to carry on. And after so many times, the doctor just will eventually stop giving any cure. In America, there's disease of people who engage in sex life and then they become pregnant and they seek out means of solution as abortion. Some people have had 4, 5, 6, 7 abortions, and they carry on. And actually, this sort of activity is something that's also on the rise, and people are obsessed with this as some sort of birth control. Not understanding, again, completely bewildered by the influence of the illusory energy, they forget, they can't even see their mistakes. They struggle so hard, they torture themselves, we torture ourselves so much, but we can't actually see the essence of our mistake. And somehow or other, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the answer has been given to all of us here. And people walk by, sometimes we may be distributing books, we may be giving class. Actually, I saw last night from the rooftop, so many passers-by, and you had this big screen out in the front. And many people, I don't think they were intending to come here, but they were attracted somehow by the chanting and the dancing or the prasad, whatever it was, somehow people were attracted to come in. And somehow their devotional life, at least on a higher level of pure Krishna consciousness and pure bhakti, was just beginning. I could see people being attracted from outside. So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Now, there's a pastime of Gajendra the elephant. And Gajendra the elephant, he was mighty king, King Indrajumna. And he was also a little proud. And Agastya Muni came before him, and he neglected to stand up. Being absorbed in meditation, he didn't stand up and offer his obeisances. And Agastya Muni was very dissatisfied with this mentality and this action. So Agastya Muni cursed him to become an elephant. But Gajendra was not just any elephant. He was the king of elephants. And he was on the highest planet, and he was able to experience some of the highest pleasures, even in an elephant body, experiencing pleasures far greater than those that we experience here in the earthly planets. So it's explained that he was bathing in one lake with his wives and experiencing some sense gratification. And somehow or other, he disturbed this crocodile, and the inhabitants of this lake became a little disturbed by his actions and activities. So this crocodile grabbed hold of Gajendra's leg, and then a battle ensued. It's explained for thousands of years they were battling. And although Gajendra was much stronger, much more powerful, because he was located within the water, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, because his bodily strength, his enthusiasm, and his senses were not getting nourished, then he became weak. While the crocodile was located in the proper place in his water, properly situated, so all of these three items were being nourished. So therefore, he was becoming stronger while Gajendra was becoming weaker, even though Gajendra really should have been able to conquer over the crocodile. Prabhupada explains this crocodile is the crocodile of Maya or illusion that all of us are battling with. Actually, there's one purport there. Srila Prabhupada is explaining how necessary it is. First, he explains that this Krishna consciousness movement has declared war on Maya. And then he explains that the soldiers in this war have to make sure that their bodily strength is always nourished, that they're always very physically strong, and that their enthusiasm is always there and very strong, and that their senses are in proper consciousness. And he explains, otherwise we may become, we may be improperly situated like Gajendra. Prabhupada also gives the analogy there of sannyasi who may fall down. But he explains that actually, even if a sannyasi falls down, then he should properly situate himself and he should continue to fight. So we should not give up this fight. So we understand that it took Gajendra thousands of years in this awkward situation before he finally decided to take shelter of Krishna. thousands of years, even though he was an exalted soul in his previous life and he remembered so much of this life, still it took him thousands of years of struggling, pain, torture, turmoil, to come to the point where the fear of death was so strong that he realized, my friends cannot save me, my wives cannot save me, no one can save me except for Krishna. No one but Krishna can actually help me in this situation. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, even though he could only barely remember these prayers that he had been offering thousands of years and lifetime before, then he began to offer prayers that invoked the mercy of the Lord. So Gajendra the elephant is a very good example of how we also spend so many years, lifetimes in this material world before we actually become to take shelter of Krishna. I was reading yesterday one email from His Holiness Indrajumna Swami. He sends these diaries of a traveling preacher. And he was explaining in this email something that was a little concerning. He was explaining how his health is also not so good at the moment, and recently he was experiencing some severe pains in his abdomen. And he was very concerned, but he kept putting it off and putting it off. And then eventually it got so bad that the devotees instructed that he should definitely go to see a doctor in Hungary. So when he went to see the doctor, he explained that previously he had had some illness, hepatitis, some years ago. And then there was some concern that in his time with His Holiness Sridhar Swami that he had taken some prasad from His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, and there was some concern that actually he had become contaminated with hepatitis C. The doctor was exceptionally concerned, the devotees who were there with him, and he was writing as I was reading this email, I also became exceptionally concerned. So Maharaj went away and he said that he became very deeply introspective and he began to think how much of his time he's wasting. So this is His Holiness Indrajumna Swami, who's thinking how much time he's wasting. How he explained how he spends so much time instead of extra chanting or studying Prabhupada's books or really, really developing higher Krishna consciousness. He says, I spend so much time just socializing with people. And he began to think how now he has to really take seriously this process, because if this is it, if he actually has this disease, then this is the beginning of the end. And so he was speaking like this, and he made a few vows that he would actually increase his sadhana and begin to take care of himself in more of a Krishna conscious way. So it turns out that actually he went back, and this wasn't hepatitis C, that actually it was just because of his fatigue and his overall health that actually his liver had become swollen and he was just suffering from this. But the doctor recommended that he definitely has to take some break and he has to look after himself, he has to look after his health. Again, this relates to this purport in the pastime of Gajendra, where Prabhupada explains that our bodily strength has to be strong, because if the body becomes weak, then the mind becomes weak, intelligence becomes weak, and then easily this can lead to some fall down and weakness, so like this. But this is very concerning. We can see here how when confronted by death, when confronted by the possibility of death, all of a sudden, finally, even though so serious, someone who's so serious, still they realize how much more serious they have to become, how much further there is to go. Actually, I remember hearing it explained when I first came to Krishna consciousness that the more you realize Krishna, the more you realize how far away you are. This was a little discouraging at first. I thought, I already feel so far away. Actually, in the beginning, we feel very close, but then due to some bad mentalities, oftentimes we begin to feel ourselves further and further away. But this reminded me of a very, very good friend of mine who I'd known for many years, and we grew up together, and we used to play music together. And then one day, we also led a lifestyle that was far, far, far from sattvic.
and playing music. We engaged in so many abominable activities. And then one day I received a phone call saying that my friend was in the hospital, and he was 26 years old. And I thought, oh, what's happened? So I immediately went to the hospital, and he was in a coma. So 2 days before this, we were playing a gig. We were actually out playing music. Everything was fine. And then 2 days later, I get a phone call saying he's in the hospital. So I go, he's in a coma. He stayed in this coma for about a week, week and a half. Then he came out, and he couldn't remember anyone or anything. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know where he was. He didn't remember anyone, none of his family. And it took months. Slowly, his memory began to come back. But from a young age, like from the age of 3 and 5, he began to recognize his parents, remember his name and stuff like this. It was interesting, though, this whole time, whenever I would go to see him, although he was completely bewildered, finally, after he got to the age level where he remembered me coming into his life, then he was saying, you know, it's like every day I feel like I'm being reincarnated. He said, every day it's like I'm being born again, and I have to remember everything, and then some new pieces are added. But then the next day, it's like every day, and he kept using this term, I keep being reincarnated. And so I thought this was very interesting. But he never really fully recovered. Actually, what he had was like an aneurysm in the brain. So this swelling in the brain has now damaged him forever. He now is in a hospital, mental hospital. He's not able to function properly outside. He has constant epileptic fits, so these can't be controlled. Actually, he's on a dosage of medicine. He's quite big, but not so big. But he's on a dosage of medicine that they would normally only subscribe to someone the size of an elephant. And still, this medication cannot control his epileptic seizures. So for me, this was before really coming to Krishna consciousness. But for me, I realized quickly this was like a very hard slap in the face. That actually, this life is very temporary. And the lifestyle that I'm leading is certainly not conducive to any long life. I have no idea what's going to happen to me. This is like my best friend. And this came completely out of the blue. No one anticipated this. There was no illness before. No one could see any symptoms or signs. Just something came completely out of the blue. So this life is very fragile, very temporary. We have no idea what's going to happen to us. Although I haven't had the great privilege of meeting or getting to know this devotee, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, but I've heard many wonderful, glorious things about him. But from what I understand, also, this illness came out of nowhere. It was completely unexpected. And I was so amazed, and I could see the appreciation on the faces of the devotees when he came the other day and he was here in the temple. And I was thinking, this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. He was smiling, and I was thinking, if I was suffering from this, I don't know if I would be able to smile. I don't know what I would be doing, probably crying and sulking and so many things. And then he was explaining that actually has no desire except to serve Krishna, to actually serve Guru in whatever capacity and whatever, however many lives. I was thinking this person is such an example of how we have to become serious, because we don't know how much time we're going to have. We don't know if the mind will be stable enough for us to continue to even focus on Krishna. We don't know how long, once something hits us, disease, could be a bus, anything, so many things. So we have to prepare now. And this, we have to wake up. Every day we're hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam the dangers of material life, how easy it is to become caught in the clutches of Maya, how dangerous this world is. And sometimes we still carry on in the same way, with this false ego thinking, it won't happen to me. I'm special. This won't happen to me. Maybe even in a Krishna conscious way, we may think, well, Krishna will protect me. And still, we put off really becoming serious. I was thinking last night, as
the bhajans and kirtan were happening, how glorious the holy name actually is. So many devotees were dancing so ecstatically, taking shelter of the holy name. And I was thinking, when will I actually really take shelter of the holy name? When will I seriously understand that this holy name is the only shelter that I have in this material world, and that it is such a gift that by chanting the holy name, actually, all of the sinful activities and reactions that are lying in my heart, everything can be destroyed, and actually I can be elevated to a platform of pure Krishna consciousness. But still I think, no, I've got another 25 or 30 years, and it takes time. Of course it takes time, Prabhupada explains it. It's a process. But still, that doesn't mean that we should put off becoming serious. That doesn't mean that we should put off taking the holy name completely to heart. Nam nam akarhi bahudani jasarva shaktis. The holy name alone can render all benedictions. Actually grabbing the holy name as our most valuable treasure and chanting the holy name with great enthusiasm and conviction. I was thinking, when will I actually take this process seriously? Especially after hearing about His Holiness Indradyumna Swami, who is obviously taking the process so seriously. So this is a great lesson for us all, that actually somehow or other we have to become very serious. I speak mainly for myself. I've come here to take inspiration from those who are taking the process very seriously, so that somehow or other I can become some sort of realized soul, hopefully in this life, but if not, then in some other life. So please, we can all thank you for your encouragement and helping me to take devotional service very seriously. And I'd like to thank you all very much for your kind attention. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it's after 9, I don't know, is there time for... Okay, so does anyone have any comments or corrections or questions? Please, corrections are greatly appreciated. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.